Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor New Zealand Thailand. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here to talk about another very sad episode. Spoiler alert, I'm not doing too well. It's been two really tough episodes for me, losing all of my favorites. Come on, Survivor New Zealand, please give me a break. But to cheer me up a little bit and to talk about this huge merge episode, I had to bring in RHAP's own exit interview stand-in, I think that's her official title, and also the co-host of the RHAP B&B. Please join me in welcoming Liana Boris. Liana, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to talk about everything that went down on this merge episode. And don't worry, Shannon, I'm here. I think it's very appropriate that I'm the one because I was on voicemails with Rob during the Game Changers boot or when Malcolm went home. So I know a thing or two about pulling people through some tough times. So we're going to have a little bit of, you know, survivor therapy hour with Liana. Hopefully maybe by the end of the podcast, we can actually get through the five stages of grief, but we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, well, now I actually feel worse because now I'm thinking about how Malcolm went out in Game Changers. So this is not a good start. Survivor never lets me have nice things.
No. See, that's the thing. You got to hit rock bottom first. I'm just pushing you a little further so that we can really make the climb to acceptance. That's the whole plan.
I don't mean to make you feel bad on my podcast, but you've just made me even sadder. So thank you for that. No, I'm really...
You're welcome.
I'm really not doing well. You know, as everyone knows, I'm a huge Aaron Truther for life. And so to see him go in this fashion, even though I didn't have high hopes for him coming into the episode, as I said last week, you know, it's painful. Like, so what are the five stages of grief? I don't think we have enough time to work through all five of them, but I feel pretty confident that I can get to like at least anger and then just kind of wallow there for a while. Like that's pretty much my goal. Yeah.
I think that's fair. Anger is pretty entertaining too. So the first one is denial. So do you feel like he's still on the show?
I'm clinging to the fact that I still get to see him on the jury. So does that count as some sort of denial?
maybe. I mean, because at least you get to maybe accept the fact that you get to see him for, you know, the 7-8 seconds or whatever that he crosses the screen when he gets to sit down. And plus, you know, he's going to be the only juror this next episode. So think about how many reaction shots you might get to see of him.
Yeah. Also, there are now jury villa videos, which you can find out there on the internet, much like how we find the show itself. You know, through the dark, like underneath of the internet. I don't know where all these videos come out, but basically I watched it and it was good. You know, he did this whole shaving thing, so he's looking good. So I'm excited to see him on the jury. But the best thing about the jury filler videos is that they're completely narrated by Matt Chisholm, which is like, Jeff Probst does not have the time and Matt Chisholm is just there like narrating Aaron's like the completely boring things that he's doing. So like you have to check them out. They're definitely a must watch.
Yeah, they're definitely so much fun. And I'm sure, have you been watching that on repeat for the past however many days?
No, because this is getting really creepy. Like Aaron has a wife and kids. I actually mentioned JT. Like I followed Aaron on Instagram and I was just like to JT, like, I don't really understand why he didn't follow me back, but that's fine. You know, I'm okay with it. I don't really understand. Like I've clearly been talking about him. I think he's gotten to like creepy levels. Like I don't blame him for not following me back actually.
Right. Like maybe this has gone a step too far. Okay. Well, maybe then anger is really the best place for you to be. It'll sort of like separate you from him. Just be like, I'm mad. You know, I don't know. Then that'll be good.
Yeah. Someone getting super mad on his behalf about his boot. I'm not endearing myself to him. Like I'm not making him follow me on Instagram anytime soon.
Yeah, this is actually getting worse. No. This is like stage five clinger. So, all right. Well, we'll take a step back. Actually, you know what? Acceptance. You're fine. Aaron, who cares? Whatever. There's plenty of other great people on the show, right? I think that's the attitude you got to take now.
I don't feel that way, though. Like, I'm not in that place. I'm so sad.
All right. Never mind. Okay. You're sad. Oh, okay. That's depression. That's the fourth stage. Look, we've already jumped ahead four stages.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're really making this work for me. I don't think it's going well. But anyway. Liana, let's stop focusing on my depression / anger / why won't you follow me on Instagram, Aaron? Anyway, you podcasted about the season last year, so I'd love to get your thoughts on how you're liking this season, how you think it compares to the first season as well.
Yeah. So I had the fortunate opportunity to podcast about the final. We covered the final three or four episodes of season one of Survivor New Zealand. And it was, you know, that season in my mind, the first season holds, or I guess is Yeah, it holds a very special place for me because I think it was something that, you know, it did feel really budget, right? I mean, look no further than the melted bag of chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was really fun about it. And you got to see a lot of character development. But I think that this season has really just stepped up the game in so many great ways while still keeping, I think, a lot of the elements that I really enjoyed from the first season. Like we are getting, you know, apart from a couple players like Tara, for example, a lot of insight into a lot of the players this season. And you know, I know that they're, what, I think you talked about this last week, reusing that same mud pit for like every other challenge, which, you know, I see you, like I see you Survivor New Zealand, your budget is showing.
It's so shameless.
That's fine. It's, I know, exactly. But see, like, that's what I appreciate about the show. And I think, you know, the way that this season really utilized the outpost twist as well was just incredibly fun. And it was something where it was nice to see these two people come together awkwardly or Matt Chisholm's like awkwardly staring at them. And the whole thing is just this really big ball of fun. And, you know, obviously now that the merge has happened, that is put potentially on the back burner. We can maybe talk about that later. But now that we're in the merge, you know, I'm really excited to see where things go because I have been enjoying this season so far, you know, especially now that we have the inclusion of immunity idols, which we didn't see last year. You know, really, this season has just been really been a ball. And the thing I think I appreciate the most is the intro. The intro is so freaking good. Like, I just want to state that right now, because every single time I watch an episode, I get to the introduction. I'm like, God, this is such a good introduction. So
that's your
I feel like that.
Part? Have you seen Aaron?
Okay. Okay. Remember, like, stage fright flinger, take a step back. No, I mean,
sorry,
it's not
I'm
my favorite
grief.
Part, but it's yeah, that's allowed. It's allowed. You're grieving. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not my favorite part, right? Obviously, I'm not going to watch the intro on loop for 50 minutes, right? I'd rather watch the episode. But I think it just kind of encapsulates how I feel about the season. Like, it just gets me excited to watch the episode just because this season, like I said, has been so fun.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. And Matt Chisholm, he's great. Production have stepped it up, even though there's that shameless challenge repeating. The intro is good. It has the actual music, which for international versions is quite impressive at the moment. Survivor South Africa does not have that, but has a lot of other good things. You guys should be checking that out. But yeah, no, it's been great. But have there been any contestants that you've really liked or not liked?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, going through sort of the major characters like JT and Dylan, which, you know, I know you talked about with the like super fan red wedding that we had last week. You know, that was pretty brutal. I think I also sometimes have a tendency to root for people ironically. So like Liam, for example, was a really big character for me.
Yeah, he ended up getting a memorial chizzy. Like, it was good.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, because especially just from, I think it was the very first episode where, you know, he's talking about, no, I don't think anybody's made any alliance. And of course, you know, you have the rest of Chani all running around trying to make alliances. And I loved that. That was always fun. Actually, another thing about the episodes that I've really been enjoying is the editing. Like, for example, this episode with Dave at the merge feast, where you're like, oh my God, is he going to burp? Is he going to throw up? Like, what's going to happen? And then no, he eats another chip or he goes back and eats more watermelon.
Yeah.
Like, that's also been really great. As
the
far
editing's
as characters,
been really fun. That was fun. That was like Dave's battle with his own digestive system. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. His own inner saboteur that he's fighting with. But yeah, I mean, as far as characters that are still there, Renee is, I think, my favorite character remaining. I just feel really good about her and I love watching her. You know, it's been fun to see Lisa now sort of break out and to see a little bit more of the strategy from her perspective. Matt is a lot of fun. I have, you know, Adam, I'm thinking, for example, oh my gosh. I mean, I think there are just so many fun characters. And even if you don't necessarily like a particular character, they're still entertaining. And I think that that's something that I appreciate about the season.
Yeah, they're super fleshed out. Like the editing has been, I think, quite even. And then there's Tara.
And then there's
person
Tara
left out of that. And I think we got some questions about like, where is Tara, which we can address. I have not located her at this time, but we will try our best, put on our detective hats. But besides that, I really feel like I have a really good sense of these characters almost top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that that's the case. And Tara.
Yeah. And then there's Tara.
Yeah. And, you know, I think with Dylan and JT going as well, two people who had a lot of screen time, we saw in this episode, and there was opportunity for more players to get more screen time. And so I think as the season progresses, obviously, they're just going to be more and more fleshed out, which I, you know, I feel good about from an editing perspective, because then you really get to see these characters narrative. And hopefully, you know, we'll have editing wise, a couple of really good candidates to win.
Yeah, and we saw even just like gameplay wise, characters like Lisa and Renee saying that they're going to basically step it up from here, and they can fill some of that strategic gap that maybe someone like a JT and an Aaron were taking up as being like really big strategic forces in the game. So I really liked hearing that from characters that I enjoy, like Renee and Lisa, talking about how basically it's game on from now. And for some of those female characters, especially Lisa being in that mom archetype, I think really think that this is kind of the time to start playing. You know, you don't have to do too much pre-merch because you sometimes draw a lot of attention to yourself. Someone like Yost, for example, like a strong woman, Frankie as well, and you come out and annoy people, like you're going to get taken out. Whereas if you just kind of lie low, go with the flow, and then try and make a move from the merge, I think that's a pretty good strategy for some of these, especially female characters. And I think that the trouble that Lisa has identified is that now you have a big perception to change. But, you know, I love that she is aware of it. And that she's like really going to try and change that. And I'm interested to see how she does that. So we'll talk a bit about that as well. But I can't fault the strategy and the timing on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I think to be in control the entire game, I mean, for both men and women, but I think it's even more difficult for women, is just, I mean, it just seems near impossible, right? Yeah. Because if you come out as a strong female, you're going to be targeted early. And it's really hard to really to take control, especially when you have guys who want to make other bro alliances, you know, and they're not really in the market for teaming up with other women. And so now this is a smaller pool of people. You can sort of cobble together people that you think you can work with, and then move forward on that. And I think the other thing is, you know, I know that this episode may have been a little bit predictable with the fact that Aaron going home, you know, I know that you predicted it last week. It seemed like he was in a really tough spot, but there were a lot of confessionals from the players this episode that were, are, you know, sowing seeds, or at least discussing potential moves that they want to make, or at least distrust of other players. And I think that that is exciting for me, because you sort of get to see everything brewing. And while this episode is relatively predictable, I have high hopes for the future episodes, given, you know, where these players stand and how they're thinking moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think Adam said that taking out a big person like Aaron, who is something of a leadership and like unifying factor, maybe like frees up the other Chani babies. And then I think he made baby noises because Adam is just so extra. But yeah, I think that they're now pieces on the board that some of these like larger Kung Kao members can try to utilize. So I think it'll be interesting going forward, and we'll definitely talk about where Chani can go from here, because up to now, not been a fun run for Chani, honestly. Like, and I want to come out of the gate and answer some questions. I got a question from DJ LaBelle Klein, who said, "Now that Matt and Adam proved they were never going to stick with Chani, will Shannon admit that she was wrong and they should have gambled with the idol and Dylan?" And I will not. No, I will not admit that I was wrong. Certainly not. Because last week I said that I thought Aaron was at the bottom of my power rankings and I didn't know how he would survive the episode. And that came to fruition. I still see the logic behind the move last week, and I just basically think that they were in an unwinnable situation. I mean, how can you fault Chani, who were this group who lost all of the early challenges? They were completely on the back foot. Then they have to contend with the vote steal advantage against them. Then Aaron's main ally gets mediquitted. Like, maybe if JT is there at the merge, he's something of a strategic shield for Aaron and they take him out instead of Aaron. So Aaron had a lot to contend with, and I don't think I can sit there and say, you know, that it was basically like he made a stupid move and he would have done super well if he'd done the other thing. And like, there's these two sliding doors, and one of them, it leads to success for him, and one of them leads to the failure that was this episode, because I just think that it would have gone badly either way. Like, if you'll allow me, I think that we should maybe go through like the other sliding door of what would have happened if Dylan was here. Should we do that?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And good for you. Don't be results oriented. Yeah. Like, stick with how you feel. And yeah, because I was actually doing the math too, because I think as we start to go through this other sliding door, I think it would have been bad either way.
Yeah. Well, I think that, so if they keep Dylan and get rid of like a Matt or an Adam, and I'm also in this scenario, I'm just imagining that they retain Renee, which they didn't do, and that we'll talk about, because that was bad. But sure. I think that if they get rid of someone like an Adam, then she doesn't have that connection, so she might stick with them. And if they get rid of someone like a Matt, then I think she wouldn't have been so annoyed at them. Because I think that was one of the reasons that she felt so alienated by them, was because they wanted to take out Dylan and she wanted to take out Matt. She was really mad that her name had been written down by that contingent. So I think that might have been one of the reasons that they didn't get to keep Renee. So just like imagining they keep Dylan and Renee. Now they're down mm-hmm. with the vote still 4-6. So I think that there's two options that could maybe have saved Aaron. Firstly, something Tessa brought up last week, which I thought was a really good point, was would they have just taken out Dylan as a consensus pick in front of Aaron? And that I don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you sort of have this person who for some reason has just, you know, accumulated all this ire from the other members of the tribe. And is that the consensus merge booth that everybody agrees on? I mean, I think it's a definite possibility. It's hard to know for sure, especially considering Adam's just laser focus on getting Dylan out of the game.
Yeah.
I think, what was it that he said at the beginning of this episode where it was like that winning watermelon pizza and Dylan going home are like the
he
best.
He compared it to pizza like that. Yeah. He must have really liked it.
Exactly. Yeah, he's the luckiest boy in the world.
It's definitely possible. He has a watermelon tattoo. Is he going to get like an anti-Dylan tattoo? I would not be surprised. Like, I could totally see that.
Yeah, that's actually, it's the trifecta of tattoos, watermelon, pizza, and then like a little picture of Dylan with like an X going through it.
Yeah, I mean, but Kankal, they got rid of Keisha instead of Dylan because she seemed like a threat to them, I think. So I don't know, Aaron's threat level is just so high, but I do think them taking out Dylan instead of him would have been maybe a good bet for him. But again, it wouldn't have bought him that much time. And I still think they might have gone for Aaron, who's like such an obvious physical presence, such an obvious leader. Hard to think that they wouldn't take him out there when Dylan doesn't have many options. And then the other thing that I've seen floated around social media is that, so what we didn't know when we podcasted last week, we found out in my exit interview with Dylan, was that they did know that JT was going. So by voting out Dylan, they gave the Kankal majority the options to split the vote. And if they hadn't done that, maybe they could make it work with an idol. But from what we've seen, Aaron doesn't even know that Dave has an idol. So it's hard to fault him to be like, oh, well, you should have just gambled with the idol. But he doesn't even know that Chani have an idol. So that's tough. And I don't even really blame Dave for not telling Aaron and for not using it as a tribe idol, because I think it kind of works for Dave to have this personal friendship with Matt, have his own idol, rather than gambling with the idol and trying to make it work with Chani. Because if he loses that, then he's on a sinking ship. So instead, just use it for yourself. Try to make a buy with your friendship with Matt. Like, I can't fault that logic as well. So for him not to share it, I don't really fault it. And for Aaron to not try to go with an idol plan when he doesn't know that Chani have an idol, I can't really fault that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you can't play with pieces you don't know exist. And I think from Dave's perspective, actually, you know, let's say he tries to use his idol to try to preserve whatever Chani alliance still exists, and then somehow try to get back the numbers. But then ultimately, you still end up fighting from behind because you still have so many Kankal members. You don't know if they're going to end up with an idol. It's almost better to sort of try to sacrifice the other Chani members and then you be that person who can help the Kankal members do the flips, you know, and make the moves to get further to the end. So I totally get where Dave is coming from with not sharing the idol information.
Yeah. And I mean, and he also has that extra thing, which is a personal friendship with Matt. So that will help him out even more in making those connections. So, you know, if he had tried to be like, this was a Chani idol, we're going to go into this 4-6 minority, which would have been with Dylan and Renee. They ended up losing 2-8. But if he'd gone into 4-6 and tried to use the idol and it had worked, then they could have got back the numbers for the next time. But if he had played the idol wrong, he'd have no idol, he'd have no ally, and he would have like completely just shackled himself to the sinking Chani ship, and he'd probably go next, whereas now I think he has options and he has an idol. So I get it from that perspective. And yeah, I mean, Aaron didn't know that it existed, so to go to a 4-6 vote when you don't know that there's an idol, I don't know, I think that's pretty tough. I think people are pretty hard on Aaron, honestly.
Aw, okay, where is the defensive stage in the 5 stages of grief?
I think this is the anger. I'm angry about it.
Is this anger or is this bargaining?
Yeah, this is bargaining. Oh my God, I'm a whole stage forward.
Ugh, I'm so proud of you.
You've done so well as my therapist, thank you.
All right, we're bargaining our way through this.
Yeah, no, I do actually, like, it keeps me up at night and I worry about Aaron's legacy in the Survivor New Zealand fandom. I'm not even joking. Like, I worry about it because I think that it'll just like be simplified and people will look back like, oh, this stupid moron like got rid of an ally for an enemy and got voted out the next episode. And it was like, but you know what? I wish to a degree that he had kept Dylan and then still got voted out the next episode. And that would have showed that he basically just had no play.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think obviously when you simplify, you're going to lose a lot of the intricacies and details of somebody's game. I mean, I think for me, when I think about Aaron's game, I think about the fact that, you know, Renee flipped. So obviously there's some neglect from either Aaron or Dave not listening. You know, I think that there are a lot of other holes that I can poke in his game, but I'll let you have this one for now.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So yeah, the Renee thing is, okay, I'm going to talk about what they did badly. I'm going to do that. The Renee thing, as I said, that's not good. And I think it's a combination of she didn't feel heard by them and she could tell that she wasn't in that controlling duo of Dave and Aaron. And she was probably correct on that assessment from what we've seen. And for them to make that really clear to her to the point where she would want to flip and for them to basically let her go to Adam, which was clearly a much tighter connection. You know, that's bad on them. Definitely. And also, I think that she just saw the light and, you know, all the props to her for seeing that Chani was a sinking ship and getting out while she could and voting with the majority. And that might help her in the future. Her relationship with Adam definitely might help her in the future. So I think that it's like equal amounts of really good job by her and bad job by Aaron and Dave and not securing that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to make somebody feel like they're not being heard and to make them feel like they're on the bottom. And, you know, she was the one who seemed to be, well, you know, maybe we should keep Dylan. And to sort of have not only Aaron and Dave ignore her opinion, but then go to Matt instead and trust Matt. And so if you're Renee, you're like, hey, I've been working with these two guys the entire time. Now they're going to go ahead and they're going to trust this other guy. I mean, obviously, she doesn't know the relationship between Dave and Matt. But, you know, I would definitely feel very neglected and would absolutely want to flip and try to find other people that would value my opinion and would want to work with me moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think that Renee has ever really felt on the in with Chani. I mean, just going back to even the early days, she was kind of tight with Frankie, and then that blew up even though Frankie tried to throw under the bus. But yeah, she was never in that core of like JT, Aaron, Eve, Dave. Like those were the main members, and she was always on the outside looking in. I think if Chani had gone to another tribal council, it might have been her from what we saw based on where the alliances stood. So I think they just really like they took that relationship for granted and they lost her in the process. I mean, like, again, they ended up losing 2-8, so she wouldn't have been a deciding vote, and also Dylan wouldn't have been a deciding vote. Like, this was a slaughter in the numbers based on, I think, the situation that they were put in and, you know, some of those missteps in losing someone like a Renee. But yeah, that was bad on them. Another thing is that, I mean, they were desperate, so I understand why they had to go with that Adam Math thing or why they thought that was a lifeline for them. I think one of them actually called it a lifeline in this episode. And you could see in the beginning of the episode, they were like really going with that bromance thing and laughing and calling it new Chani and trying to make it a thing. But they were completely sold by Matt and Adam. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, like, really good job on Matt and Adam last week and this week in selling it. And like, they were so confident. Well, from what we saw, I mean, Dave ended up having his doubts, but they were quite confident in that relationship. And that's all the credit to Matt and Adam, who really made them feel like they could help them out of the situation, when we'll talk about how much they actually planned to help them and how much of a swing vote they really were, because I'm really interested in that. But either way, they really sold it to them. And obviously Matt's helped out by the relationship with Dave, but I thought they did a really good job on that. And Aaron even called them his undercover cops. And so that's a lot of trust that you're putting in two people who end up not voting with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was so much stock that was put in this this man bun alliance, I believe.
Yeah, I love that
described.
They called him that.
Yeah, see, because don't you talk about if an alliance has a name, then it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So that was Dave was just trying to will it into the world. He's like, if I name it, then it will definitely be a thing. They will definitely stand by me.
It's such a cool name. They should have gone with it just based on the name alone. But anyway.
Yeah, the man bun alliance.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Then I can see if this is the tattoo episode, then they're going to get little man bun tattoos, you know, solidify their alliance. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, definitely credit goes out to Adam and Matt for being able to really make, I mean, you can even just see in Aaron's body language, like he doesn't really seem worried. I don't know if he's just tired or like kind of what the deal is, but it does seem that, you know, Adam and Matt really do push this narrative of, yeah, you know, new Chani, absolutely. When, you know, Adam is like, yeah, new Chani, not a thing. Stop trying to make new Chani happen. It's never going to happen. And so I thought that was really great.
Yeah, they did well both weeks. But do you think that they were legitimate swing votes, Adam or Matt, at any point in this?
I mean, you know, we get to see a little bit of Matt talking about his distrust for Brad.
Yeah.
And, you know, him sort of now observing all of these new alliances, obviously being separated from Brad, from Tess. and sort of seeing what they've been able to build, I think that you can see him starting to really feel, you know, the tension, and they're not as close, you know, Brad and Matt aren't as close as they were. And I think that he's worried about that. I think, though, for this vote, I just can't see him flipping. You know, I think he keeps Dave, who he obviously has a literally like a out of game relationship with. And in Aaron, you know, Aaron is a guy who, yeah, he's a big meat shield. Maybe you want to keep him because then you seem smaller, you know, compared to Aaron. But once you cut Aaron loose, then I think, you know, like we talked about and like Adam talked about, you let the little babies, little Chani babies go. and so I think Matt and Adam really do feel like, okay, look, we're going to take out Aaron for this vote, and then we'll, you know, potentially reassess, and we'll see where things can go now with these new chess pieces who are essentially free from Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Matt has spoken about how he can't trust Dave when Aaron's there, and Aaron is, as we've said, Dave's wife. He's his wife, and Matt is like the little mistress in the bushes. So I can see how he would want to take, you know, take Aaron out. But just numbers wise, I mean, even if they had Matt and Adam, it still would have been 5-5 with that vote steal. So I think that I think they were just hoping that it would. Something like Matt versus Brad, which we saw in the next time on, I think they were hoping that that would come to fruition much earlier and they could just pick the Matt side of that. So I'm not sure what kind of numbers they thought they had there, but I do think that Matt at least seemed to be, I don't know, kind of considering it. I mean, his relationship with Dave is now messier than ever. They've both voted against each other's main allies, basically, and completely lied to each other during it and blindsided each other. But they have that trust because they're real life friends. So it's I guess harder to fracture that trust. But like, what a complex relationship we're witnessing.
Yes, they're going to need some relationship counseling, definitely, after this. It's going to be a super awkward high school reunion. I mean, I think it's difficult because, yeah, you have this out of game relationship with somebody. But when you have, you know, and even if you're out in the real world and somebody does something against you, you know, like that you lose their trust for some reason. In game, out of game, it's the same thing. And so, you know, definitely if you're Dave or you're Matt, you are questioning that relationship. It's definitely not as strong. I mean, you're kind of relying on the fact that you have this previous relationship and hopefully that will carry through. But it's going to be really interesting to see where things go, considering that, like you said, they have a super messy relationship.
Yeah, it's like it's so complicated. Like if this was just you know, an alliance made on the island, there's no way they would work together ever again. Like there's so much trust that's been broken. Yeah. But they just have that bond from before, so I guess they're willing to forgive more. But I mean, I don't know how Dave is going to come back and have been completely blindsided by Matt to take out Aaron, one of his closest allies, and been lied to. But obviously he needs Matt now as well, so it's gonna be really interesting to watch.
This is like turning into the soap opera version of Survivor New Zealand, because now it's like, okay, so the mistress took out the,
killed
the wife. So the wife is now dead. Oh my gosh. Who is a twin? I don't know. So like somebody has a disease. This is going to be really crazy to see how everything plays
out. And where is Tara?
And where is Tara? Oh my God. And the missing person, like, oh, this is perfect. I think we could really move forward with Survivor New Zealand, like Born, Young and the Restless, or just the soap opera version.
Yeah. I also think it could be fun. Like I see something in the future of Renee and Tessa fighting over Adam as their best friend. Like I see that as a love triangle coming up as well, because it's kind of like when you have a best friend and then they go away and now they have a new best friend. Like Adam's come back and he's so close with Renee. If I was Tessa, I'd be super jealous. I hope that gets messy.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We'll have like a love triangle. And then now we have the strained relationship between the mistress. Oh my gosh. And then what if Dave is like, he's like, no, I can't be loyal to you. And then he like goes to Brad. Oh, this could really get messy real quick.
I love it. It's so true. I mean, Adam in this episode, I'm just like pained by, I mean, if this is just the soap opera of Survivor New Zealand, like, I feel like he's the main character. He should be on a soap opera the way, like, he talks and he acts, like, it's so dramatic. But watching him smear Aaron and dragging his name through the mud, lots of swear words in my notes. It was difficult to watch. Like, and at first it felt like he was lying because he could have gone either way. So that's why I'm like, oh, he does seem like a legitimate swing vote. But by the end, it kind of felt like he wasn't lying anymore. Like, I was very confused by this.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things is when, I think it was at the Merge Feast, when Adam was like, is this even a tribe? And then someone was like, yeah, it's like a family sort of thing. And he just like rolls his eyes. Adam's just over it. He's just like, whatever. Like, I don't even care. He's just so dramatic. And then, yeah, when he's throwing Aaron under the bus and he's like, some of it may be exaggerated. And he's just like going off on these complete and utter lies about Aaron.
He called him a
dick.
It was
really wonderful.
Not cool. Yeah. Not cool, Adam. Don't like that.
Yeah.
This is the anger part, right? I'm going back a stage.
Oh, no, we're regressing. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm so angry. Forward. Just thinking about that scene, that's definitely the anger portion of the five stages for me, because he was mimicking him. And like all the things he said, just we've not seen anything of Aaron be anything like that. I mean, he's I don't want to be hyperbolic, but he seems like the best person in the world. So like,
yeah. Don't mean to be hyperbolic, but let me say something super hyperbolic.
You know what? Like, this was Aaron's last episode, so I'm just going to get all that Aaron love out there and just like...
No, that's smart. That's smart. Get it out of your system. Yeah. It's always better.
Yeah. The next week, we can't talk about him at all. I'm sad.
Yeah, then we're putting a ban on any Aaron talk.
Well, I mean, he's out of the show, so like, oh, I think I'm getting to the depression phase. I think it's coming. Yeah.
Oh, honey. Oh. Well, he'll be on the jury. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
I think that what I, you know, about Adam is like, then he's bitching about the fact that he doesn't get the reward, right? Because like, and then he's just like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. And then, you know, like they're all happy and stuff. I don't want to hear it. Like, oh my gosh, you're such a little complainer.
Yeah, but okay. This pains me to say it. As I said, I was very, very angry watching him smear my beloved Aaron, but like, the guy is playing a good game. Like, he seems to be have really good social connections with a lot of people. He and Matt did really well, you know, duping Chani over the last couple of weeks. He's brought Renee in. He's got Tess and Renee possibly fighting over his love. I really think that's the thing that's going to happen. Like, the guy is in the center of everything socially. I'm impressed and I'm mad. I'm both things.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do to really combat that. But I think the fact that, you know, somebody like Adam, who I, you know, from the first episode, I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy is just going to, you know, be out here and be super extra. But then to actually think about what he's doing in the game, like, I know that him throwing Aaron under the bus, trigger warning for you. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. him throwing Aaron under the bus was so dramatic. Like, oh, my gosh, worst person in the world. But you know what? It worked. And it was interesting because it not only sets up sort of a logical vote for Aaron, because, you know, obviously he's a big threat, holds people to, you know, the Chani Alliance together. Logically, it makes sense. He sort of appealed to people's emotions. And I don't know if this is just a result of Adam being super dramatic or it was on purpose. But, you know, to sort of make him seem like this bad guy and you then emotionally kind of feel like, yeah, we got to get rid of him. You know, he's a bad guy. He's mean. Like, he needs to go home. It's not just logical. It's emotional also. And I think that that was something that was interesting that came up. Again, don't know if it was on purpose. Doubt that it was on purpose, but he did do it.
No, I mean, I think that there is intention there. And I think that they said, I think, was it Brad who was like, I just can't work with him. And you know what? If you've boxed Aaron in where the only people he can work with is you and he's really relying on you, that is a really good move. Like, you've now separated two people that you could work with and you've put yourself in the center. I think that is really impressive. And strategically, I think everyone seems to like him except Dylan, who's gone, not on the jury. I think strategically he's in like a really good place. Socially, he's in a good place, but narratively, I'm like, this is our villain and he's being set up for a fall in some way. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he's definitely a villain. I really feel like this is correct and not just because of the Aaron stuff. And I feel like narratively, he's going to get his comeuppance. I'm just not sure when and how.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm trying to think of like, okay, what have been positive moments of his edit? You know, you get to see like Matt crying about his love, you know, his partner. And it's like, yeah, Adam was bitching about Dylan and talking about how it's the greatest day of his life. Like, that's total villain editing right there.
Yeah. I mean, Adam is the one he's preparing for his no Dylan tattoo. Like, he better win the money. He's got a lot of tattoos that he needs to get.
That's right. Exactly. He'll just have like to put a big deposit down on a certain tattoo artist. Be like, I'll be here all month.
Yeah. And on Matt and Dave, like friends also because they share the same tattoo artist. So like maybe that could help in that alliance with him.
Oh, my gosh. And then the tattoo artist shows up and then the tattoo artist gets with Tess and then there's a relationship there. And then Adam gets jealous. And then, oh, my gosh, it just spirals.
Survivor soap opera.
Exactly.
But I did rack my brain to think like, okay, what did Aaron do wrong? Because I wanted to be fair and like give him a ton of love, but also, you know, call him out in things that weren't as good. And so I thought, I guess his biggest problem is that he was a really obvious target. And as David Bloomberg would say, like, don't be too much of a threat. And he was a really big threat, like an obvious threat that you could not conceal. And I think that that was his main problem. Like, if they were going to come for someone in Chani right away, it was pretty much always going to be Aaron. I mean, I guess, yeah, maybe JT could have been that strategic shield and he lost that. But he was such an obvious leader, such an obvious physical presence, and he couldn't really minimize that. So, I mean, yeah, you are who you are out there, but that I think was a really big problem. If I'm going through like why Aaron lost, that's a big one for me, because being the leader and being like the biggest presence on a minority tribe is not a good situation to be in. And we see it particularly in like old school seasons of Survivor. Like that's a pretty typical merge boot. And I think Aaron was that in this season.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I think one of the things is like, if you're going to be a big guy like that, like try to pretend to be as dumb as humanly possible, because I think the fact that he had the strategic plus the physical threat, like, I mean, come on, like that's a clear boot. Plus he's this leader in the tribe. So if you can try to downplay, you know, one of the two of those elements, obviously he can't downplay his physical ability just because you look at him, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
But if you can try to seem like not as much of a strategic threat, that could be one way. But, you know, obviously that's something that he didn't do through the pre-merge of this game.
Yeah. And, you know, in another world where Chani don't lose a lot at the beginning, then he's maybe a Matt or a Brad who are those big presences and who are big threats, but have numbers at the merge so they can work through that. But yeah, to not have numbers and to have a huge threat level, like you're going to be taken out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if he's in a different position, I mean, well, obviously if he's in a different position, it's a different game, but just where he was, like you said, with the numbers was not good for him.
So I want to talk a bit about where Chani goes from here. We did see in the next time on maybe a bit of a Matt Brad fight happening, or not a fight, but maybe like some sort of battle. And that's something that I thought maybe pre-merge that could be exploited by Chani. And not even because I'd seen anything bad between Matt and Brad. I just saw them as these two really big, like almost tent poles, and maybe people would flock to one or the other. So I'm not sure if that'll actually happen, but do you have any ideas of who would go with who in like a Matt Brad battle?
I think that's interesting. If you do end up having that sort of split, I guess first I would want to think about, you know, who are the original Kunkel members and maybe where we think that they would go. You know, because Tess and Adam really do seem to still be a pair. And I feel like Tess's relationship with Brad could potentially pull those two to Brad's side.
Yeah. I feel like that's really interesting, because Matt even said that one of the things he's really worried about is that, you know, Tess and Brad have a really close relationship after that swap. So I feel like Tess is very much with Brad. I also feel like Tara's with Brad, mostly because I know nothing about Tara. So I just kind of have to assume, and I just like put her in that camp.
I was going to say, for Tara, like literally no one knows. Tara's the one who disappeared on our soap opera, right? Yeah. So maybe she's in a coma. I don't know. I feel like comas are a thing on soap opera.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so like in Survivor Ghost Island, for example, there were obviously like Chelsea was super purple, but you know, there were a lot of purple people on the season, but Survivor New Zealand is so evenly edited. That's what just makes it so funny that Tara's the only one. Like even Eve, who we haven't seen a lot of lately, like they still got content about how she was a brick wall. She had an idol. She was pretty big through the pre-merge, whereas like Tara, absolutely nothing. She has one lone chizzy point that I gave her in episode one for like basically no reason. I don't really know. She was my first boot pick and she didn't go first, so I gave her a chizzy point. And she's not won one since, and she's not been on our screens. I don't know where Tara is. Anyway, back to Matt and Brad. So Matt, I think, would obviously have Dave. And then I feel like Brad has no relationship with Eve, and that's like been well documented. So I feel like Eve might go with Dave. So I feel like he has Dave and Eve. And that's Brad, Tara, and Tess. Matt, Dave, and Eve. Then I kind of feel like Lisa has had a relationship with both of them, but she said more negative things about Brad, where she was like, he didn't really talk to me a lot. And she seems to be really close with Matt. So I'm putting her with, this is all fan fiction, but I'm putting her with Matt. I'm literally like writing down like a little chart here. And yeah, and then that means Adam is something of a swing vote between Brad and Tess. And then Matt, who he's been with the whole time, and I feel like he brings Renee. So I feel like he's, again, really, really centric socially. And I don't know. I feel like he could be something of a swing vote if this even happens. Anyway, that's my chart that I've just created.
No, that's perfect. For those of you who listen to the B&B, we do preseason predictions where before the whole season starts, we write out literally what's going to happen to every single player throughout the season. And then we read them when that person goes home. And we are incredibly wrong most of the time. So I love anything fan fiction, Survivor fan fiction. So this is all good with me.
Yeah. Tara stuff is literally fan fiction. Like, I didn't know where to pull anything from. So it's just like, I don't know. You with Brad. I don't know.
Yeah, this is literally made up. Let's see. Tara's tall, so Brad's also tall, so they're probably going to team up. I mean, I think what's interesting is really the Adam of it all.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, do we think that Adam will side with sort of the Tess Brad, or, you know, what do we think of the Adam-Matt relationship? I think that that's something that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones who've been together the whole time, and, like, they survived Chani together, and they were in the forefront of this massive move to, you know, sell themselves to Dave and Aaron and really become the swing votes there and blindside Aaron. So they've worked a lot together, and we haven't seen really anything negative between them, but we haven't seen the personal relationship that we have to the extent of obviously like an Adam and a Tessa. You know, that's really, really strong. So I don't know, just by virtue of the fact that they've been together the whole time, I feel like it could be pretty close. But I mean, instinctively, I'm thinking you'd have to go with Tessa. Like, that's probably one of the tightest relationships in the entire game.
Yeah, I feel that, too. And I think that that's an astute point that you bring up about the fact that, yeah, Adam and Matt have been together the whole time, but we haven't seen a lot about their relationship and their dynamic. Now, I don't know if that's because, well, Matt and Dave are more interesting, so we're going to get more screen time for their dynamic. And then Adam is sort of left behind. He's the other mistress. He's the mistress to the mistress. I don't know how that works. So we don't really see that relationship build, which is why, yeah, I mean, I have to think that Adam and Tess's relationship really is what's going to be stronger and hold them together. But, you know, Adam's also, from what I can tell, a really smart strategic player. And so if he knows, you know, where the numbers need to fall, depending on who has idols, if he knows about any of those or advantages, it really could be up in the air. And I could see him siding either way.
Yeah, I mean, and Brad does have an idol. So that also was a big thing in his favor. Like, I'm actually thinking like it's tipping slightly to Brad if I'm looking at Brad versus Matt. And if that is the case, then you know what, Matt, you should have kept Aaron around. He probably would have voted with you. He's got nothing with Brad. Brad hates him because he thinks he's a horrible person because of all the things Adam said about him. So, yeah, I mean, this is all fan fiction, but I think it would be close. I think they definitely each have numbers and they've both made some pretty good relationships, but I would slightly have a tipping to Brad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be fun. I think it also would be fun to see, you know, see original Kung Cao fracture, just because I would love to see Lisa's face. She's like, no, Kung Cao strong. Like, she's not ready to make her move yet.
Yeah,
that would be a lot more air quotes. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah. But in the same time, I could also just see it being like a Chani member. Like, I don't think it'll be Dave because he has an idol and he has Matt, and Renee's obviously jumped ship and she has Adam. So if they're going to get rid of anyone on Chani next time, I think it might be Eve, who clearly doesn't have a relationship with anyone on Kung Cao. They've all been pretty clear about that. And yeah, if they're going to like wait another vote before going for each other, I could see Eve being the one. But if Matt is actually looking at the numbers and has made a handy chart, just like I have, you might be wary of that because Eve could be a number for him that he needs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's got to just make that chart in the sand, figure it out. Because, you know, Eve is the person that I think it was Tess who was saying she's like a brick wall when Matt was like, try to bond with her.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems pretty clear that Eve is on the outs and doesn't seem to have any emotional connection with anybody. So, you know, I don't know if Matt is willing to let her go or is really going to try to scoop her up if this does become the Matt Brad bro war of 2018.
Yeah, but we'll see. See that bro war.
Bro,
just because of the title. A lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that's actually Mike Bloom and I are talking about doing some Big Brother coverage for the RHAP B&B, and the sole reason, one of the reasons why we want to do it is just so we can call it the BB B&B. So I'm not above doing things solely because of the name.
Yeah, I want a confessional from someone where they're like, it's not in my best interest to go with Aaron and Dave, but because it's the Man Bun Alliance, which is just such a cool alliance name, like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, we got to ride this thing out. I just really like the name. They're just going for the hashtag, you know. Hashtag Man Bun Alliance.
I feel like I never see the hashtags on the show anymore. Like, there was definitely the hashtag Strat Chat in episode one. Has there been a hashtag since then? Like, am I missing this?
No, not that I can think of.
Since you've had that one lone hashtag.
Yeah.
And then never again.
They were trying it out. Nope. Didn't like it. Maybe they didn't have the budget for the other hashtags.
We'll give them one and then never again.
Right. Lisa, what they used it on Strat. Was it Strat Chat?
Yeah, Strat Chat.
That's a pretty good one.
I don't know what happens with these like dodgy international versions that I get. Maybe on New Zealand TV, they give them the hashtags and we're just wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'm also from the dark web, so yeah. I don't know for
exactly. But Lisa on this episode, I want to talk about her because I thought she did really well. Obviously, her vote steal basically decided the numbers in Kang Kao's favor and like decided where the future of the game was going to go. So really good job on her for winning that. And it ended up being incredibly powerful. And obviously she used it as well to split the vote against an idol, which just feels like it would be her plan. Like, I feel like that's the kind of like intelligent thing a superfan would like work out the numbers with. And I just really loved how she was narrating her strategy and how aware she is of the perception of her and that it needs to change. And I love the way she's talking about it. And now I want to see her go out and do it.
Right. I mean, I think for me, the first instance where I sort of perked up with Lisa was when she was talking to, I think it was Tara. Tara was there with Tara and Tess.
Was Tara
about? I don't know. Maybe I've made this up in my mind.
No, I think she was, but it's just like the ghost of Tara. So I don't know.
Tara's been maturing on Ghost Island and now she's back and ready to play. Yeah, I think it was Lisa talking to Tess and Tara about, you know, come the merge. Like, if I hear your name, you know, I'll work with you. And so she's sort of starting to put these feelers out. And then obviously with the vote steal, she has to use it this episode, which actually props to the producers, because I like the fact that this is something that, you know, obviously Dave ended up learning about, so pretty much everybody knows. But the fact that she has to use it at the next tribal that she attends, so which essentially ensures that she uses it either that the tribal after she received it directly after, or the merge, because she has to go to merge.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciated that. But definitely, I mean, I think Lisa is somebody who I'm nervous for her, I think, because she sort of has, you know, that mom archetype. And I think you and Dylan talked about this, you know, where she, you know, she's just like happy to be there and she's just, you know, fulfilling her bucket list. And I'm hoping that she's able to, now that the merge has happened, really turn that perception around and really try to, you know, play this game, be the strategic threat that we know she is, but really and convey that to the other, you know, players without them being targeted for it. It's a tough rope to walk, but I feel optimistic about her chances.
Yeah, she needs a seismic shift in perception. It will require, and I hate to say this, but like quote unquote big moves. It really will, because for her, it needs to be big. It needs to be just a massive change where it's like, I'm here to play and I'm showing you in this really, really strong way. But the thing I appreciate is that she is fully aware that she needs that shift and how she's currently perceived. So at least, you know, all you can ask of the players is to have awareness of themselves and the situation that they're in. And she definitely has that. But yeah, now she needs to find ways to really make big risky moves. And I think she's prepared to make those risky moves to change that perception and not just be dragged to the end. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's just going to depend on whether or not, you know, whether or not she knows when to make that move, because obviously part of Survivor is the timing of everything. And, you know, now that I just praised the fact that the vote steal had to be used in the next few, you know, two tribal councils, now I feel like, oh, but if she could have had it and then made a move, you know, in a couple tribals and use that to really make her quote unquote big move, I think that really would have been advantageous for her. But, you know, she, like you said, she knows her position, she knows where she's at. And so, you know, realizing that's half the battle. And so now if she can just act on that, she's, you know, she's got a good shot moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, like when they give such strict instructions, like it has to be played at the next tribal, it kind of makes the move, obviously, you know, less impressive because there aren't as many options. It's not like, oh, I can use this at any time. So, you know, it's like if you have an idol that can only be used at one tribal council, no one's going to applaud you for playing it because that's your only option. Whereas like holding on to an idol, playing or whatever, when you can do it at any tribal council is impressive. Obviously, if you can only have it for one or two tribal councils and you don't play it like Chris Noble, that's particularly bad. But yeah, she could only play it at this one tribal council. I mean, obviously she played it perfectly. She had the numbers in her favor and so, you know, it's not that impressive that she played it perfectly, but it really did shift the whole game. But I think she'll still need a lot more to change that perception of her.
Yeah. And I mean, it did allow her to split the votes, which is real. I mean, obviously is really great, right? Because then they're able to protect against an idol. The thing is like, I don't think anybody's going to see that or no one's going to recognize it. And nobody's going to applaud her for the fact that she was able to do that because she just had to use it. And that's the way the numbers worked out.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that we could see some positive things from her moving forward. So that's my hope. And she's narrating her game very well, at the very least.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Lisa's the narrator of our soap opera. And so, because she can just speak to it very well, and then we'll have all the other characters. I think this is really taken off.
Yeah, Lisa's not built to be in a soap opera. Like, she's not that type of character at all. So she definitely has to be the narrator. Like, I don't think she's having any torrid affairs. Like, she's not getting any crazy tattoos. Like, Lisa's just a normal human person. Like, that's why it's so odd to see it on TV, because, like, you're just a very nice, normal human being.
You know what I will say, though? The one Lisa moment that I really, really appreciated this episode was when she was at the merge feast, and she was comparing holding that burger to holding her newborn son. She was like, this moment was close.
At least she said close. Like, if it was Adam, because he's the most dramatic person, he would be like, it was way better than the kid. So much better. Oh, but at least she was like, it wasn't quite as good. See, she's a normal, rational human being. And you know what? Like, that the burgers look good. Like, I'm even a vegetarian, and I'm saying, like, I don't blame her. Look good.
Yeah, like, slightly more adjusted that she can value her newborn son over a burger. But yeah, oh my gosh. Well, then Adam is the one who has to have a kid or something, right? Because then he can be like, I trade you for a watermelon. And then that can be a whole plot line.
Adam would totally trade his child for watermelon. Like, really believe that. Sure.
Oh my gosh, have you ever seen those baby photos where they like they take a hollowed out watermelon, they like put the baby in the watermelon or whatever?
No.
So the point is that, you know, people like take pictures of their babies, so they put them in like bee costumes or like put them in a bunch of flowers or, you know, those like cutesy pictures of babies. I feel like I see them in calendars and stuff.
Okay.
It's a thing. Just bear with me on this. So there's if he would be like, okay, I will take the watermelon instead of the baby. No, thank you. This joke totally failed because you don't understand, because you don't know what this is. It's fine.
I don't know, but what I'm picturing is really funny.
It's like, okay, yeah, it's like a hollowed out watermelon with a baby in it. And then Adam just leaves the baby and takes the hollowed out, like takes whatever came out of the watermelon. And he's like, tradesies.
Oh my God. Adam was built for soap operas. You know who would never do that, though? Lisa. Normal human person. Normal human being on TV. Very rare to see it.
She would think about trading her baby for a burger, but she wouldn't actually do it.
No, she's a very rational person. Like, her and like the scale of extra is her to Adam.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm going to use that. Like, how extra are you being? You're being really Adam right now.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, there's a picture of Adam next to extra in the dictionary, I assume.
For sure. If not, Webster's dictionary. Get on that.
Yeah. All right. And now that we're done with that watermelon story, you're going to have to send me a photo of what this is. I still don't know what you're talking about.
You can put it in the show notes. I'll find one for you.
Okay. I want to move on, though, to the reward, which they did. I mean, they did a reward challenge. And for a while, I thought the reward was just that they were merging and they just done the slingshot thing for no reason. And I had so many angry notes that I then had to delete when I realized they also got a reward. Did you think that they were just not getting a reward? Or was that just me?
Well, I thought that the reward was going to be like kind of crappy. So they were like, okay, we're just going to keep it covered. And then, you know, it'll be exciting when you see it, because you're just like, oh my gosh, reward. Yeah, no, I had no idea. I know it was super silly and most people saw it coming a mile away, but I'm super naive. So I was like, oh, reward challenge.
Yeah, I mean, but I kind of would rather see the outpost if you have time for a challenge, because I mean, the outpost is always so great and so interesting. But I did kind of like that they were merged and they were just like one new big happy family. And then a few of them went off and like got treats and the rest were jealous. I mean,
I think that's nice, right? Because you at least then start to get a little bit more drama, you know, brewing, right? Because now it's like, oh, we're one big happy family, but like these kids get extra chocolate or toilet paper, toothbrushes, or whatever it was that they picked.
Yeah.
You know, and the other kids don't. And obviously Adam is going to pout about the whole thing.
Oh, in a very dramatic fashion.
Oh, of course. I loved it. He was like in the hammock and just like pops his head up, like slinks his head back down. Like his little gopher, just like, just being all dramatic. The one thing that I did notice at the reward challenge was, I don't know if you noticed this, but there was like a PowerPoint-esque transition when the tile broke. And then it like went to, it was Aaron in the background. So probably you were looking at him, not the PowerPoint transition.
You know me too well.
I know. But it was really funny, if anybody noticed that.
Well, the good thing is, in the future, I'll be able to see these transitions because I don't have anything else to look at now.
That's right. Really hoping they go back to the PowerPoint-esque transition.
Is this acceptance? No, I don't think I'm there yet. I felt close.
I don't know. That was close. That was pretty close.
Yeah. But I need to talk about the things they picked in the reward. Because, Tessa, chocolate? I couldn't tell if this was the same day as the actual merge feast or the day after, but like 2 bars of chocolate after you've just eaten. The other things were all so good. Like any one of them was a good choice. Like I think Brad got a toothbrush and toothpaste. Like that's a game changer. That's a good choice. Lisa, again, a very rational, normal human being who picks toilet paper. That's good too. And also she was using it as a pillow, which I think is really smart. Tara took a towel, which you can also use as like a blanket or you could fold up and be a pillow. Very, very smart. And then what did Eve get? She got a pillow. That was good too.
Yep.
All very good decisions. And then Tessa, I know she said that it was stupid, so it's like kind of unfair to rag on it. But you know what? I don't care. I'm still going to rag on how stupid it was to get 2 bars of chocolate instead of like anything that could help you through the next 20 days of the game.
Maybe this is just, representation of Tessa's game. It's like immediate, like short-sighted, immediate gratification. Like, I'm sorry, you want me to be resourceful? No, chocolate, please.
Yeah, I mean, like picking the chocolate was the reward equivalent of the mattress lie. In that I will laugh about it for eternity and bring it up on every podcast.
Right. Oh my gosh. Actually, speaking of that. So I think it was at the beginning of the episode where she was wrapped in the mat.
Yes.
She heard the like animal noise. I was like, oh my gosh.
She was a burrito. Yes. That's the most I've ever liked her as well. I have here in my notes, I like when she made herself into a burrito. Just that.
That's perfect. That was so good. That was really funny.
You know what? I come at Tess a lot for, you know, her tweet that she deleted and the mattress lie and now the chocolate thing. I'm just adding to the repertoire. But like the more I see of her, I'm like, I would be Tess on the show. Like I would run from the scorpion. I would make myself a burrito. Like I would make myself into a burrito. Like I kind of identify with these things that she's doing, but I would not pick the chocolate. I mean, I love chocolate too. But this is not the terrible, terrible decision. I paused on the list to see what else there was. I don't know if they could all only take one thing or if they could double up. But like there were so many good things. Shampoo and conditioner. Like how could you, like that would make you feel so different. Like you could use it as soap. What is chocolate going to do? What? It would just make you feel sick as well. Like it's not even like a hearty meal.
Plus she said she could eat it in like a minute or something like that. Like both chocolate bars.
Yeah, it's not going to work for her. She might need that toilet paper that Lisa has.
Well, they're all going to need it after that merge feast, especially Dave of all people.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Lisa had like 4 rolls of toilet paper, which just seems like, wait, like you wouldn't need that much toilet paper, surely. Like they're only there for a couple more weeks. Like I think she should start using the toilet paper as a bargaining chip if she can.
Oh, that's a good idea. It's like the prison equivalent of cigarettes. Like she's just going to try to barter it for other things. Maybe she can get a candy bar from Tess.
Yeah, like if you would take me on reward, I will give you 2 squares of this toilet paper. Like she should be doing that.
It's 2-ply. I think what though was bothered me though about the toilet paper, I will say, is because was it wrapped in plastic? Because it's wet out there. And I just have to imagine like a paper product might not last. Like they might need to go through that rather quickly.
How can they go through 4 rolls of toilet paper quickly though?
I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know if I necessarily want to get into all the digestive problems that the survivors are having out there.
It just seems impossible. Like maybe she could wrap herself up in it like a mummy and it could provide some warmth. I'm just trying to think about how they could like make these rewards last for a really long time. But, you know, not the chocolate because that's gone in a second. But I feel like there's a lot you can do with toilet paper. Just like drape it over you, TP yourself and use it as a blanket.
Oh my gosh, that's how they can harass the other people. And they're like, yeah, let's mess with Chani. We're going to teepee your tree. Like throwing the rolls up there.
Yeah, Dave just getting like a roll of toilet paper just like lobbed at his head.
Yeah, exactly. They would throw the eggs if the chickens were laying eggs.
Yeah. This is how Adam would do with the toilet paper. But again, not Lisa. That's the scale. Lisa's just going to use it as a pillow. She's just going to use it like regular toilet paper. Adam's lobbing it at people's heads. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly. I do like the mummy idea though, because then if in our soap opera someone comes back from the dead, then they get wrapped in the paper, and then they could be a mummy, and
the toilet paper
has a lot of issues.
If they wrap Tara in the toilet paper, we're just like, who is that new person in toilet paper?
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, just wrap her up and, like, no one would notice. Or, yeah, she could just wrap up her face and be like, oh, my gosh. It's crazy. A mummy.
She is literally a mother, so...
Mummy.
I don't know how we got here. Let's no more talk of toilet paper. So I want to get super serious now. I want to get into the nitty gritty, yeah, and talk about Chismisms. Hashtag Chismisms. Why have people stopped hashtagging Chismisms? I feel like we were in a really good place with this, and now no one's doing it anymore, but whatever. Okay, I'm really disappointed, actually, and I was actually going to cancel the whole Chismism section, but then I couldn't because there's too many funny things to talk about. But all week, people were speculating. What would be the name of the new immunity idol? The tribal immunity idol was Old Mate Idol. And then this individual one, he didn't give any name to it. What is that?
I know. That's so disappointed. Which, first of all, I was disappointed that, like, Old Mate Idol had to go because it got dat booty. and I was really sad that the individual idol didn't have a similar booty. It does have a septum piercing is what it looks like, like with that loop that kind of hangs down. I don't know. Maybe he'll come up with a name, but I really hope, you know, it's obviously it feels so hollow without it.
Yeah. I mean, should we come up with a name? But the thing is, we could never do as well as the Chiz. So, like, I don't want to have to do it because I can't live up to a name that he could come up with. So I'm just really disappointed. And hopefully they'll go back in, like, post-production before next episode and edit in a name for the idol, because we were all waiting and it was, like, going to be the highlight of the episode. And then I was just left very disappointed by this.
That was your highlight of the episode? Like, I mean, yes, individual idol's going to get a name.
Like, no, but, like, Aaron went home. The idol didn't have a name. Like, what are you doing to keep me watching Survivor New Zealand? Like, come on. Work harder.
Yeah, that's your list. Those are the things that you require. You're like, I need the individual idol to have a name. Aaron needs to stick around. Well, if anybody has names for the individual idol, you should tweet them at Shannon.
Yes.
Bother her with that.
Do that. I don't want to have to come up with my own one and not live up to the cheers, but you guys send in suggestions and then I'll read out the good ones next week. How about that?
Perfect. Love it.
Another chismism. This was my favorite. So after the vote, Aaron goes home and I still managed to write this down through my tears. He says, Aaron had the opportunity for a final plea. I feel like he didn't take it. I bet he wishes he had now. Like, dude, he went home 2-8. Like, what was he going to say at the last moment?
Oh, my God. I loved that so much. Because I was like, that's so mean. Like, why would you say such a mean thing?
And I loved it. So irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Like, are you saying that Aaron didn't try? Like, were you giving him some sort of opportunity? You feel slighted that he didn't take it? I didn't quite understand. I thought it was very mean.
Chizzy, 2-8. He was dead and buried. He could not have said anything at the last moment. Like, it was done. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, it was done.
He couldn't even vote. Like, Aaron couldn't even vote to save himself. Yeah, like, that's how bad it was.
Yeah. Like, he literally didn't even have a vote. He had 8 votes against him. I want to see what Matt Chisholm thinks is the speech that Aaron could have delivered at the last part of Tribal Council to convince, like, 3 or 4 other people to vote with him.
To flip. Yeah, right.
Literally,
and that's what
4
I love.
People.
What? The fact that it all hinged on his plea at Tribal. Like, that's all it was. If only he had taken that opportunity. And I think, the nail in the coffin was like, I bet he regrets that. Like, okay. Projecting much, are we? Like, I don't know what you're dealing with. Yeah. This seems overly intense.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I'll say that the contestants continue to show a lack of respect to Chizzy, which, like, not deserved, even though he didn't name the idol. Some of the people were saying just like, I guess we'll find out tonight. You can't answer questions like that at Tribal Council. No respect for the Chiz. We need to have a talk to the contestants about respecting Matt Chisholm, guys. Not cool.
That'll be the seminar that you'll give. You'll go back in time, send you out there and be like, okay, today we're going to talk about respect specifically for Matt Chisholm. Okay.
Only for Matt Chisholm. No, I don't care about anyone else.
Not each other. No. Keep going after each other. Love that. Great TV. Matt Chisholm, on the other hand. And then you can turn around and you can yell at Matt Chisholm and be like, I'm only going to give this if you name the individual idol.
Yes.
I think it's important.
That would be my final plea. That would be. It's like, Aaron, do you have anything to say? And he's just like, look, guys, I mean, it's 2-8. I'm going home. Just give Matt some respect. Just give Matt Chisholm some respect. Like, maybe that's what the final plea would have been.
Yeah, maybe that's actually what Matt Chisholm wanted. He was like really hoping for Aaron to come through for him, but no, just left him in the lurch.
Like, you have nothing else. Just tell them to be nice to me. And maybe that's why he was really disappointed. Like, Oh, I guess he wishes he did that now.
Yeah, I'm sure that goes in our fan fiction category with our Matt versus Brad for next week. That definitely happened.
I feel like most of this is fan fiction.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, come on. We got to have some fun.
Okay. Well,
wait, what are you talking? Why not fan fiction? What are you talking about? Obviously, Survivor New Zealand soap opera is totally a real thing.
Yeah. And obviously, Adam actually is getting tattoos of his enemies. Like, I mean, I think we're at least manifesting this stuff into the universe.
Yeah, that's what Dave was trying to do with the Man Bun Alliance. He's like, if I name it, I put it out there, it's going to be a real thing. We're just trying to do the same thing.
One day. So I don't know what the TV structure is in New Zealand, but I feel like, do they have so much going on that they can't do Survivor New Zealand soap opera? Like, surely there's a spot for it. I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd definitely watch it.
Yeah. Okay. I also want to get to the Chizzy, which is actually serious. Not the Chismisms aren't serious, but no, the Chizzy, this is getting really down to the wire. We've now lost JT, who was in the lead, and Aaron, who was in the second lead. So it's really opening up the board now. So I've got my votes ready and waiting, and I think it's going to be interesting. I'm giving an honorable mention to Renee, who I said, you know, it was smart of her to see the light and jump off the Chinese ship. And her relationship with Adam, I think, is going to be really key to her. It could genuinely save her in this, like, Chinese pagongi that may or may not happen. So honorable mention to her, but it was too tight at the top, so I didn't give her actually a vote, which is a very, very hollow way to compliment someone, I think. Sorry, Renee.
Yeah, here's an honorable mention. You don't actually get anything, but you get an honorable mention. So it's like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about this because the prize is a LaBelle's lobster hat. And I've heard that Brett LaBelle is actually kind of preoccupied at the moment. So I'm not really sure what we're going to do about that. I hope that we can still get a hat for the winner.
Yeah, he can get you a fancy hats from all around the world.
Yeah, I don't really know what to do about it. Like, that was my first thought when I was just reading some stuff on the internet. And I was like, okay, what are we going to do about the Chizzy? I'm always thinking about the Chizzy first. But one point I'm going to give to Matt, who last week I gave him 3 points. This week it's a continuation. You know, he played Aaron and Dave very, very well. Plus he won immunity and, you know, he took out the wife. He's the mistress and he killed the wife. So I feel like in the context of what he's trying to do, that's a good thing. Doesn't sound good when I say it like that, but in the context of what he's trying to do, it is a positive thing. And I think he said he couldn't trust Dave until Aaron was gone. He took out Aaron and he achieved his objective in that, so I'm giving him a point. 2 votes I want to give to Lisa, whose extra vote, like, legitimately won the numbers for Kung Gao completely. And, you know, she split the vote on it. She used it well. And again, I really like her as a narrator of our soap opera. She's narrating her own game really well. She has really good awareness. And I think this is a good jumping off point for what she can do in the future. And now 3 votes given under duress to Adam, who who did drag Aaron through the mud and made me very angry. But you know what? He deserves 3 votes this week. You know, he pulled one over on Aaron and Dave. He really, really did. He put Renee in his pocket as well, and he has that vote. He's in a great spot on Kung Kao. He's socially, like, in the middle there with Matt and Brad. I feel like he could go either way. He's so close with Tess. Like, the relationships that he has are so good. I really feel like he's in the center there. And while narratively, I really do feel like he's being set up for a fall strategically and socially, especially in the last couple of weeks, I really can't fault him. So I'm giving him 3 points.
I'm really proud of you. I feel like this is a step forward, being willing to reward the 3 points to Adam. You know, I mean, that's really big of you, especially considering he is the one that targeted your object of affection,
yeah,
target of your stalking, whatever you want to call it. It's very good.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be objective in the Chizzy, at least. Like, I take the Chizzy very seriously, even though it may or may not have lost its actual prize. But no, it's still very serious. And you know what I find? So now they're doing like a fan favorite award, and it's only for the people at the merge. So, you know, like, I think you have to be from New Zealand to vote, but I also kind of feel like maybe we could get around that. So go vote for your favorites, Aaron. And but I just don't think that is important. Like, it's funny to me that they're making a fan favorite award as if anyone cares about anything other than the Chizzy. I'm like, okay.
I know, right? Like, yeah. Don't even come for me. We have the Chizzy, okay?
Like, no one cares about I think they actually win a prize, like, money of monetary value. But, like, I still really don't think any of them care compared to maybe or maybe not at this point winning a LaBelle's Lobster's hat and also my affection. So the Chizzy's where it's at.
I mean, obviously, some things are just worth more than money. And obviously, the hat and your affection definitely are worth more than whatever money they could offer.
I think it's
for
like
this
thousands
fan favorite.
Of dollars. So
Yeah. I would definitely not take that over the hat.
Yeah. And there might not even be a hat now.
That's right. The vague promise of potentially some sort of headwear in the future is the award.
No, but guys, seriously, go pretend you're from New Zealand and vote for Aaron. Like, I mean, I shouldn't use my platform to tell people what to do, but go do that. Seriously.
Hey, you know what? It's your show. You can do whatever you want. You go, girl.
All right, Liana, do you have 3 Chizzy award winners this week?
Yeah, I do. So I actually also had Matt getting 1 point. I pretty much co-sign everything that, you know, that you said about him. I think the fact that he's sort of coming to terms with this distrust of, you know, Brad and Tess. And also, you know, he won immunity this week. I know that you know, some people may say, whatever, it's individual immunity. But I think that, you know, you got to win those. You know, some wins are going to help you. And so I definitely give 1 point to Matt. My 2 points actually goes to Renee. So I'm happy that you brought her up as an honorable mention. I will now do the deed and give her points. I was
an actual
really
compliment.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome, Renee. No hollow compliments here. You know, I liked the fact that she knew when to flip. I don't know if this is just because she emotionally felt so burned by Dave and Aaron, and maybe that's more of a slight on them than a positive to her. But I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because, you know, being willing to flip with the majority, and then if you can stay with the majority and really work your way in, you're going to be that person that Kunkel looks to pull in to make the flip on the rest of their tribe. So I really like that. I like the fact that she built her relationship with Adam. She's, you know, skeptical about some of the other relationships, and I just really like where she is in the game right now.
Yep.
And I also gave my 3 points to Adam.
Ooh, he's this week's Chizzy winner, and he called Aaron a dick.
Hey, you gave him 3 points too. It's okay.
I know.
It's okay.
But I just don't know how he did this. But anyway, continue.
Aaron happily sits on the jury. He got to shave, narrated by Matt Chisholm. I think all is right with the world.
Yeah.
What I appreciated about Adam also, you know, just to go along with everything that you said, is the fact that he's reinforcing his old relationships. I really like that he went back and really tried to, you know, to build that bond again with Tess and a little bit with Brad. And also the relationship with Renee, right? I mean, I got to give him props for that, for at least, you know, being willing to pull her in and then potentially work with her moving forward. I think the biggest thing is the fact that he pinned Josh's demise all on Aaron. I mean, like, I got to give him props for how he went about that. And like I talked about, the emotional, not just the logical way of targeting. So I think for sure Adam has to get 3 points this week.
Okay, well, breaking news are happening now. Adam has now caught up to JT and is on 16 Chizzy points. He passed Aaron, and he's the only, you know, member still in the game that's in the lead. So, wow, that is a big swing for Adam.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to give him a hat.
You're going to have to give him a hat. Maybe just give him a watermelon instead, or, you know, help finance his new tattoo. I think all could work.
Yeah, I don't. That sounds like way more expensive than getting the hat from Brett LaBelle. Like, I actually wasn't doing anything in that. Like, it was all Brett. Do you want to offer some sort of prize now that Brett is out of the equation, maybe?
I will finance a watermelon
sure. Thank you.
I don't know how to make this happen. You know, I'm going to need some people on the ground, but I will definitely pay for it for sure.
You may need to fly to New Zealand, buy the watermelon and hand deliver it. But like, Adam might not win. I mean, he's just in the lead right now. So someone else some very confused person might get that watermelon instead. Like, I don't want this. Like, this is a very average prize.
Oh my gosh. So can I just mail a whole watermelon? Cause I've definitely seen people where they just put like a stamp or like pay for it and just mail like whole potatoes and stuff.
You should.
This is another thing that only I've seen.
Yes, it is. Okay. And you should mail a watermelon with a baby in it. Is that what you were saying is a thing?
I will get you the pictures. I promise this will make sense at some point.
Okay, good. Because it's now the prize for the Chizzy winner. So it has to be a thing.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I got to steal a baby and then I got to get a watermelon. Oh man, this is really turning into a chore. That's all right. I'll do it. That's how much I love this season. I'm willing to steal a baby.
Yeah, I make a habit of asking for favors of my guests, but like asking you to kidnap someone it's the most I've ever asked, but I'm just really impressed and just really thankful that you're willing to go that extra mile. Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I go all in. Plus, it fits with the soap opera theme. I think that it just fits.
All right, Liana, it's now time for some questions. We got so many good questions this week. So we, and yeah, of course, because you were the guest, they just varied in complete ridiculousness. I don't know what that says about you.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I was thinking, I was like, oh man, I have a whole strategy podcast to talk about. How am I going to do this? I'm used to just making puns and scrambling words. Like, oh no.
Don't worry. I think that we've definitely like veered off the course of strategy and are now talking about babies and watermelons. So it's good. No, we just went completely the opposite direction. It's a good thing.
Yeah, right. I just do my best to bring ridiculousness wherever I go. It's fine.
And with that in mind, DJ LaBelle Klein asks, Liana, how would Baby Survivor New Zealand differ from the US version?
Oh, well, obviously they're all in watermelons, clearly. Yes. So to give this at least a little bit of context, which I'm not sure it will help it make any more sense, but on the RHAP B&B this season, we came up with a concept for essentially like Ghost Island 2 baby edition. So it's a bunch of babies all playing Survivor, which I just really love this idea. So, so now we're going to have, you know, the New Zealand version of the Survivor baby edition or whatever. And I don't know much about New Zealand babies. Obviously I need to kidnap a New Zealand baby,
yes,
and a US baby and sort of like see what their differences are. But obviously I feel like watermelon has to be top of the list. They probably have a lot of fun like crawling through the big mud pit. I think that would be good.
So dangerous.
So for babies. Well, yeah, because the water is like, isn't that like the drowning level for babies? I just made that really dark. Okay, whatever. Anyway, babies will be fine. Oh my God. And can you imagine the babies spinning around on that? Remember, was it Tess who was hanging onto the pole who then the pole fell over, or like, yes, broke? Yeah. Oh, little babies like spinning around. Oh, that's, yeah, so cute.
I don't think the babies can do the New Zealand challenges. Like, they're way too dangerous. So that would be a problem. They have to cancel every challenge, not just most challenges.
I like that you say it specifically about the New Zealand challenges. Like, the babies could handle the US challenges.
No, because the US ones don't break. But the New Zealand ones, like, a couple of times have now basically just, like, been broken in challenges. So I feel like I have more trust that the babies could do the obstacle courses in the US, but not necessarily in New Zealand.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
But I love that we answered this question within the course of the podcast by talking about babies and watermelons. You didn't even know it was coming. Like,
yeah, that's perfect. I don't know what that says about me.
It says a lot. Like, it says a whole bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever wants to psychoanalyze me, go for it.
Matt Hancock, who is the Matt on this season, not Chisholm, the other Matt. He said, Shannon, how are you coping with losing your Survivor crush? And Matt, not well, clearly. Not well at all, but I am actually taking applications for the next Survivor crush. So, you've been podcasting longer than me and you have your own Survivor podcast. Is it kosher to hit on the contestants on your own podcast, or is that frowned upon?
I've made some questionable comments, yeah, hitting on various Survivor contestants. So, okay, you know, I think it's above board. I think you're all right. But is there anybody that's standing out to you as a front runner?
I mean, well, Matt asked that question. So I like when a guy cries over how much he misses his girlfriend. Like, that's when I love my boyfriend the most. I assume he cries constantly that he misses me. But yeah, Matt, I like that he cried.
He's like fishing for compliments
for some reason. I don't know. I'm now part of the Survivor New Zealand soap opera.
Yeah, right. You're in there too. Yeah, I love the fact though that when he did cry, he like had the wherewithal to pull his hat over his head, because I don't know, he could be a really ugly crier. Like, I'm a really ugly crier and I would definitely do the same thing. So good on him for remembering to do that.
Yes, another reason that he's leading in my crush charts. I think, yeah, I have to stop with this. No more hitting on the contestants. This is why they don't follow me back on Instagram.
Yeah, this can get weird pretty quick.
In the same vein, Robin Starkey on Twitter said, my question is, are you okay, Shannon? Do we need to send chocolate? And I'm again, not okay, not even almost okay. But yeah, send chocolate. Or if you want to be more practical, you know, send toilet paper, send a pillow, send a towel. Like, I feel like that's way more helpful than just a couple of chocolate bars, because like, who would choose that?
Yeah. You know, I want to say it's okay that you're feeling bad, but I feel a little hurt. Now I'm in the depression anger state that I'm not helping, because I really feel like I'm trying my best.
Yeah, I do picture babies and watermelons and I do get a small smile, but I think it's going to, okay, I think it's just going to take time. Like, it's
time
a hard
heals
loss.
All wounds.
I mean, I don't feel like it's healed the wound of Malcolm going from Game Changers still. So like, this is actually, like, I know we're huge Cerie Fields fans, and when she got Advantage Geddon out of the game, I think I tweeted saying, you know, Micronesia should have been a final three. I'm still not okay with that. And it's been, at the time, it had been like 9 years. So it hurts to think that in 9 years from now, I'm still going to care about Advantage Geddon. So I don't want to be here crying over Aaron in like a decade from now.
Okay. Well, you and Matt can cry together. Maybe that'll help. Just pull a hat over your face whenever you feel sad.
Yeah, I really feel like moving on to Matt actually is my best bet. Like, I think that's really helping.
Is it? Okay. All right. Good.
Okay. Edwin Morris says, tell her I love her, talking about you. Oh. And guys, I think we need to have a talk about what questions for the podcast means. I've just become like everyone's messenger, which is cool, but I really feel like there are like more direct ways to get messages through to my guests, just like instead of me asking them on the podcast or saying things to them. But yeah, Edmo wants to say that he loves you. So just letting you know.
Okay. Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you, Edmo. I love you too. Or maybe it was a question. Tell her I love her?
Yeah.
I don't know.
JT Muirhead, again, from this season, getting all the questions from the people on the season. He said, if my urinary tract is unafflicted and there is one more boot pre-merge, who is likely booted from each other? P.S. I've come out of retirement for today only. Sincerely, keeper of the chizzy points. So some context on that. JT has, I guess, like, I don't know, out of just like boycotting or just, you know, in defiance, has quit Twitter, except that he comes on once a week. And also since quitting on Saturday, he's been on yesterday and also today. And he keeps messaging me on Instagram. So like, it's not a great boycott, but I also don't know if I made him keeper of the chizzy points. So
I don't know. He'd be a terrible Buddhist monk. Like, you can't protest a single thing. Like, like, I have to light myself on fire. Can I like hold this lighter and wave it above my head?
Yeah, now it's like he still comes on Twitter a bunch, but now he just has to announce that he's like coming out of retirement. I feel like bullying him about this will make him actually quit Twitter. So now I feel bad. JT, come on, be on Twitter. We need you on Survivor Twitter. But
we love you.
So who would have been a boot if they hadn't merged at 11 and if JT was still there? So if Kung Kao had won to Tribal, I really strongly feel like JT would have been booted. So that's
the same outcome.
Yeah. And then I actually feel like Chani would have been really interesting because in hindsight, would Renee have been a bit of a swing vote between Adam and Matt and Dave and Aaron? I don't know. That could have been a really interesting Tribal Council.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that would have been interesting. I mean, I think to go back to, you know, JT being booted, because also you have Lisa, she has to use her double vote also. Right. So I feel like that's the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Sorry, JT.
Instead of it being 4-2, it would have just been 5-1. And then Matt Chisholm would have been like, JT had a final plea and he didn't take it.
I bet he regrets that right now.
I bet he regrets it. He could have swayed all of you.
He would have stayed if he had only taken his final plea. Sure, cheers.
Jason Gates, who is my brother/intern, says Matt and Dave have now both blindsided each other. Are they now even and can work together, especially with the other woman and Aaron out of the picture, or has too much trust been lost? What do we now make of Matt's decision to not pick Dave in the try pick him in the first episode? So, as we said, this is messy. This is really messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot to unpack in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't pick Dave because he was like, okay, we'll have full control at a merge or a swap if we are in different tribes. And that, like, they have helped each other out and they do have connections with different people. Like, between them, they pretty much have a connection with every person left in the game. But they made things so complicated for themselves. Matt not picking Dave, like, instead of just, like, working with him the whole game, he's now put himself in such a precarious position that I think they should have just gone simple probably and just picked Dave and just worked with him the whole time. I don't know. It's a hard call.
Yeah, I mean, I know that other survivors who have talked about their experience, who have talked about really appreciating having one person that they were really close to. I mean, look no further than Dom and Wendell from this past season.
Yeah.
Having somebody that you're really close with, that you really trust, you know, even though and even if it's obvious that other people know, and I feel like Dave and Matt could have hit it a little bit, but to just really strengthen that bond out there, I think that could have been an advantage for them. Because now, you know, like we talked about, it's super messy. Who knows if they're going to be able to trust each other? I mean, obviously, Dave is down in the numbers, so he's gonna look to Matt. It's just whether or not they really feel like they can repair their relationship enough to move forward together.
Yeah, I mean, they put themselves in such a messy situation where, like, I don't think they realized in the first episode how strong those survivor bonds would become, because it was like, we'll just be on different tribes and then we'll come back together and be each other's number one ally because we're real life friends and these people are literally strangers. But after coming back together, after, you know, almost 2 weeks in the game, they weren't strangers anymore and they were legitimate connections and they were being pulled in either direction. And I don't know if they anticipated how strong that pull would be and how complicated it would make it between them. So, I mean, they put themselves in, like, yeah, a very, very tough spot as Survivor players, as first-time Survivor players, like, they really gave themselves a very, very hard task.
And you're really trusting that that relationship can stay strong. I mean, to your point, like when you go out on Survivor, we talk about this in the context of Big Brother as well. Those bonds form real quick and they form to be really solid because essentially you're spending 24 hours a day with these people and you have to go through all of these tasks of like life and living together and you have a serious bonding experience. And, you know, even in the temporary, Matt may feel closer to someone else that he, you know, didn't know beforehand, that he just spent those 22 days on the island with, in comparison to Dave and Matt's relationship, which maybe they've known each other longer, but they don't sort of have that same really intense and intimate bond that you form when you're on Survivor.
Yeah, and they don't have that strategic bond. You know, they hadn't voted together, right. Which, you know, Matt had just made, you know, strong strategic allies. I think that maybe they underestimated how strong those relationships would become. I really do. And, you know, Dave now, he needs Matt so much. Besides his idol, Matt's his biggest lifeline in the game, being basically Aaron's second in command and someone who might be, you know, that net to go in a Chani Pagonging situation. So he needs Matt. Whereas Matt, you know, Matt's got a lot going on. And if he goes against Brad, he might need Dave too. But, you know, he could cut him as well. And he's just put himself in, they've put themselves in a very complex situation.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it adds a fun element to the game because yeah, now you so have fun. Sort of this extra layer of, yeah, their relationship and then they've gone against each other. And it's really going to be interesting to see what essentially Matt decides moving forward.
Yeah. Kara on Twitter said, how unfair is it that the fan favorite vote is limited to only the merged tribe members? Dylan and JT are robbed. Yeah, that is true. That is sad that, you know, I don't know why you could only vote for the people in the merge, especially when like, the two people who just went pre-merge were like the two biggest characters. It's a bit of an odd thing to do, but I really like what it does for Aaron's chances. So I'm like, not really that mad about it.
Right. Cause he's like that first one that squeaks in there.
Yeah.
See, that's something you have to be happy about. He's up for the fan favorite award.
If he loses though, like I'm gonna burn this whole thing down.
Yikes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to be around when that happens. So best of luck with the fire.
I'm burning this whole thing down. You're kidnapping babies. Like, how did we get here?
Yeah. Although I think arson is probably better than kidnapping. Like, I'll be in jail longer than you will.
Okay. Well, we'll be friends. Well, I mean, I'll be in Australian jail. You'll be in American jail, but we'll be pen pals, right?
Oh, yay. I'm pretty sure that's how jail pen pals work.
Yeah. I don't think you get to write to the other people in jail. Like, I think you write with people out of jail.
Okay.
Michael McDermott says, my question is, where the hell is Tara? And Michael, she's the one covered in toilet paper. Keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I feel like we've already covered this.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know where she is. Tara. We're very worried literally. About her. We're very, very concerned.
Yeah, literally no one knows. Well, because isn't there, I think it's called the Mandela effect, where like you think something happened, but it didn't actually happen. And like collectively, we've chosen to like think that this thing happened.
Yeah.
I think that Tara being on this season, like this is the Mandela effect. Like we believe that she's on the season, but she's not actually out there.
I literally can't see a flaw in that theory. Like, I think see? You're correct. I think you are correct. If she doesn't get a confessional next week, then that has to be true.
It has to be true. All right. Sounds good.
John Densford says, what are the casuals on the Survivor New Zealand Facebook page saying? Now, I did go to the Survivor New Zealand Facebook page for the first time in the hope that we could do some sort of, you know, casuals corner. But the Survivor casuals in New Zealand are very even keeled. Like, much like Lisa, they just seem like fairly normal human people. And they're not like spewing vitriol and saying really stupid things, which is not fun at all, New Zealand. Come on.
Yeah, there's certainly more Lisa on the scale of Lisa to Adam, for sure. Because I actually went to look, too, because I was like, oh, that could actually be a lot of fun. And then also, it's there's not that many comments to begin with. No, it's not fun.
No.
They spell everything correctly. It's just a disaster.
They do. Like, they're really good at spelling in New Zealand.
Apparently. I know. I want more, like, weird exclamation points and capital letters out of place. That's what I expect from the casuals.
I don't know why they... I don't know what it says about America that you guys have so many crazy casuals on your Facebook page, but New Zealand just seems just relatively even-keeled.
Yeah. America.
Yeah. I mean, a few of them seem to really love Aaron. And so if loving Aaron is a casual position, I don't want to be a super fan. Like, I'm okay with it.
Well, I think didn't Sala win the fan favorite award last year?
Yes. did.
Yeah, I feel like Aaron could sort of fit into, you know, fulfilling that similar archetype potentially. So
yeah, I see it. Now I feel really like positive about this. About
yeah, plus who
kind of like, favorite?
Who else? Like, I'm just trying to think of who else they would vote for. Like, if I saw it correctly, they don't particularly like Tess. They have literally no idea who Tara is because she's not on this season.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like they didn't really like Brad. Eve also has, you know, dropped in screen time. So it could be. Yeah,
maybe
it could
Dave.
Be Matt.
If Dave becomes like a real underdog now and is like fighting for his life for a couple of votes and like correctly plays an idol, he could win some votes.
Yeah, I could see that. Is voting open till the end of the season?
I don't know. I think so. Okay. I just know that you have to be from New Zealand. Like, I started filling out my name and it was like, what province are you from? I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, make one up.
I don't know.
The province of New Zealand.
Yes, I am from New Zealand. Nick Fishman says, is it always the best thing to steal the vote of the person who you intend to have the most votes on? Usually I would say no, because then you might indicate where to play an idol. But considering they could split the vote, I think it's fine. And also it means that, you know, there isn't an extra person coming back especially mad at you from that tribal council. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For a split second when Dave started getting a lot of votes, I was like, oh, so they took the vote steal from Aaron. They're actually going to vote out Dave. But obviously he was just the decoy in case there was an idol played. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's OK in this situation, obviously, because, you know, Lisa, I assume, knew that Renee had flipped as well. And so she had that extra vote. They were going to be able to successfully flip the votes. And it was pretty much, you know, a lost cause for Aaron in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a slaughter unless he had made a final plea and then the whole thing would have been different. But he didn't. And that was the big mistake. So tough.
Yeah, his whole game went down because no final plea.
So yeah, I mean, it's a game of inches. It's crazy. It's like that one moment I can't even think about it. Clayton O'Dell says, we haven't seen many final threes with a 7-person jury. Any thoughts on how only needing 3 votes to win could or should impact the gameplay? I thought it was really interesting that they're going final 3 again, because I think I'd rather see a final 2. You know, it's an old school feeling season. I like seeing the final 2. I would have appreciated it. But in the seasons like China and Gabon, where it's been 7 jury members and 3 final tribal council participants, it has been interesting votes. So it could be interesting.
Yeah, so I also always prefer the final 2. I think it's just more compelling because it's, you know, one versus the other. But in terms of the 7-person jury, it almost not to I'll talk more about like American politics, but you pretty much just have to appeal to your base.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have like this solid group of 3 people, you know, because if it's a 3-3-1, you know, or 3-3-2-1. No, I can do math. 3-2-2 split. Then, you know, you just have to have those 3 people that are really solid with you. I mean, then obviously you're assuming that you're going to have the votes split between the other 2. But, you know, if you can really just make sure that you have 3 to 4 really solid votes, then maybe you're less concerned with potentially who you bring with you because, you know, you think that there might be some vote split in some way. So it is interesting because there's so few votes that can be cast in the jury.
Yeah, once it was going to be a final 3, they should have made some primos jurors like in seasons like, you know, Fiji and Cook Islands and Heroes versus Villains, and had JT and Dylan on the jury. Like, that would have been scathing to see Dylan against someone like an Adam on the jury. What a jury moment.
Lots yeah, that just would, oh my gosh, yes, just for the hashtag good TV, I feel like that would have been very enjoyable. And they can, hey, even they don't even have to vote, just let him sit there and like make faces on the jury. I think that would be enjoyable.
Yeah, I spoke with Dylan on the exit interview about how robbed we were of his Eliza jury face, because you know like, you know, it would have been good.
Oh, it would have been so good. Like, just thinking about all the expressions that he had, like, during tribal council. Oh, he'd bring it to the jury.
He definitely would. Well, that's all the questions that I have, Liana. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm so sorry it ended with us both going to jail for different reasons. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
I'll write you letters. Don't worry. We'll support each other to get through this, although I'll probably be in jail for much longer for kidnapping. It's okay.
I appreciate the efforts you're willing to go to.
That's right. Again, yes, just give myself for the play. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. I've been loving the season so far, and it's so nice to get a chance to sit down and talk about it, both the strategy, the silly of it all. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me, Shannon.
Thank you for coming on. And I have to ask what the hashtag is, even though I kind of already know that it's hashtag Survivor Soap Opera.
Oh, yeah, I think it has to be. I was going to think the anti-Dylan tattoo, yeah. But no, we got to go with the soap opera.
I mean, yeah, it is a Survivor soap opera. Like, now that we've keyed in on that, like, I can't see it as anything else. Also, hashtag, and then there's Tara, I thought we could have done, but...
Right. She's on the show. Maybe. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in years back, we'll look back and really wonder, I think.
I know. Yeah, she's actually, when they do the digitally remastered version that goes to DVD, she's actually just going to be edited out. So
it's true. But I don't think that, like, you know, giving like the PowerPoint transitions that they have, I'm not sure that they can do that super well in New Zealand. So it'll be very interesting to see how they do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like a really bad edited. Maybe they'll just like cover her with like trees. There'll be like clip art trees in the background that just cover Tara in every scene, because it just gets too complicated to, you know, talk about her narrative.
I think in the future, they'll just put JT's face over her, so people are like less mad that JT went pre-merge, and then in the post-merge, right, they'll just be like this really tall JT walking around with toilet paper over him.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, I'm really digging the mummy idea. I think they have to stick with that as well.
All right, Liana, where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on social media. Twitter is what I use mostly. I'm at Liana Boras, LianaBoras. As far as other stuff that I'm doing, I'm covering RuPaul's Drag Race on RHAP with Mike Bloom and Brent Wolgamott, which is so much fun. And then, like I talked about a little bit, Big Brother 20 is going to be starting soon. So I'm going to be doing coverage the Saturday, Liana Saturdays, morning updates. And then Mike and I will be back for a little bit of BBBNB, which I'm just excited to say a bunch more times.
It's worth it for the title. It really is.
I know, right? BBBNB bonus. I don't know. We got to come up with more Bs. We'll work it in there.
The extra B is for BYOBB. Anyway, you can follow me at Shannon Gaitz. That's Shannon Gaitz. And also, I post question threads every week for the guests. So if you just want to tell your guests that you love them and just use me as a messenger, you can follow me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. And I'm posting question threads on social media, on Facebook in the Patreon group. And that's a good way to reach out. Next week, I'm going to be talking to the great winner of Australian Survivor Season 2, the Cookie Monster himself, Jericho. So I am very, very pumped up about that. And also,
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's great.
Wait, Shannon, can you tell Jericho that I love him?
I'll write it down. I'll write it down. This is the best way to communicate with people, through me. Like, this is what I'm saying. And speaking of that, Mike Bloom and I will be recapping Survivor South Africa episodes 5 to 7 this weekend. So I'm super pumped up about that. It continues to be a really, really fun season. So we'll be just unleashing all our thoughts about the last two episodes and then the upcoming episode later this weekend. So look out for that on your reality TV or Hapups feed. And yeah, Liana, I'll just tell Mike that you love him too. Is that all right?
Nah, that one not so much.
Okay, duly noted.
Sorry, Mike, I love you. Talk to you soon.
So you can follow the Survivor New Zealand wrap-ups, reality TV wrap-ups, subscribe, leave us a review if you like what we're talking about, if you think it's worth us going to jail for this, which I personally think that it is. But that's all I have for you guys this week. Liana, thank you so much for being here again. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.